So the morning we are discussing from this very intriguing chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the setting by which Parikshit Maharaj in action will demonstrate in the next chapter. So till now in the first canto, the pastimes of Krishna and the Pandavas, after the Pandavas, after the Kurukshetra war has got over, have been defeated. So Madhusudan Saraswati, a prominent commentator on the Bhagavatam, a prominent scholar, and Sridhar Swami also, they say that the first canto is basically setting the scene for the Bhagavatam. The first canto is basically setting how Parikshit Maharaj became ready to hear the Bhagavatam and Shukadeva Goswami became ready to speak the Bhagavatam. So the 4th, 5th, 6th chapter describes how Narad Muni instructed Vyasa and Vyasa meditated. And the meditation existed in the 7th chapter. First, in a few verses, in about half a dozen verses, how Shukadeva Goswami progressed from impersonal to personal realization is described. And from the 7th chapter onwards to the 19th chapter, how Parikshit Maharaj became ready for hearing Bhagavatam, that is described. So till now, there is a linear chronological sequence of events going on from the 7th chapter to the 15th chapter. 15th chapter is the Pandavas' entire time. And then in the 16th and 17th chapter, suddenly, so 16th chapter is a dialogue between the Bhumidevi and Dharma. They are in the form of a cow and a bull. And then in the 17th chapter, Parikshit will enter. And the intriguing thing about this chapter is the both of them are suffering. The bull is suffering, the cow is also suffering. And there is this Kali who has taken the garb of a ruler and he is tormenting both of them. And when Parikshit comes, there is furious. And he asks the bull. So here the bull and the cow are mutually discussing what is the cause of our suffering, what is the cause of your suffering. And the bull is asking the cow, and the bull himself is getting a little bit beaten afterwards. And then Parikshit comes and Parikshit asks, who is the cause of your suffering? Now it's at one level, Parikshit's question itself is absurd. You know, if somebody is being beaten, and you ask the victim, who is the cause of your suffering? Don't you have eyes? He is beating me. But still Parikshit asks this question, and surprisingly, the bull does not point to Kali. He says, the cause of suffering is very difficult to assess. Some people say this is the cause, some people say that is the cause, some people say that is the cause. And he says, therefore, I have concluded that the cause of suffering is very difficult to assess. And then Parikshit says, excellent! Excellent! He says, he basically says that one who considers the criminal to be responsible for one's suffering, the wrongdoer to be responsible for one's suffering, that person attains the same destination as the wrongdoer. Now what does he mean by this? It's not that just pointing out a criminal is as bad karma as is doing a bad karma. What he's saying is, both are essentially acting in the same level of ignorance. That means, ultimately, there is a purpose to whatever happens in life. And if we just get caught in causality at an immediate level, then we miss out on the further opportunities for understanding and growth that are there. So why does Parikshit ask this question, who is the cause of your suffering? Parikshit actually does punish the bull, the punish Kali also. But still he asks the bull to check the understanding of the bull. So, one of the ways in which the ego catches us and traps us is through the blame game. Basically, when we get problems, we usually blame in three directions. I'm talking not from a spiritual perspective, philosophy, Vedic philosophy perspective, common human perspective in today's times, and I'll connect it with the Vedic perspective later. Now, either we blame others, or we blame ourselves, or we blame God. Why am I suffering? He did like that, she did like that, they did like that. So, we blame others. Or,
we blame ourselves.
Meri kismati hoti hai. Yeah, my destiny or man uses this. And third is we blame God. And actually, none of these are very productive. Why is that? Means actually, isn't it good to blame ourselves? Or if somebody has done wrong, isn't it good to point out that they have done wrong? Yes, it is. You see, that the whole central purpose of the Vedic path is a search for dharma. A search for dharma. The Mahabharata begins, the central theme, the defining question of the Mahabharata is, what is dharma? The defining question of the Bhagavatam is, what is dharma at the time of death? It's a more evolved question, but still it is similar. But because Bhagavatam focuses more on dharma at death, so the Bhagavatam's narrative is much more world-renouncing, much more world-rejecting. Whereas the Mahabharata's narrative is much more world-affirming. Now if you see, even when Arjuna is distressed, Arjuna, when he turns and surrenders to Krishna, his question is not, should I fight or should I not fight? His question is, Prichami Tvam Dharma Sangam Rajeta. He is not simply asking, should I fight or should I not fight? He is asking, please explain me, what is my dharma? So, and he says, without understanding my dharma, even if I fight and even if I win the kingdom, he says, Nahi Prapashyami Mamapanidya Yachokam Choshanam Indriyanam Avapya Bhumavasatanam Vidnam Rajyam Suranam Pichadipatyam. Without knowing what is my dharma, even if I attain fabulous success, even if I attain success, not just of winning the whole earth, but even attaining heavens, sovereignty over heavens, still this drying up of the senses, this grief that is drying up my senses, that will not go away. It's a very, very poetically gripping metaphor. The choke of uchosharam indriyanam. Normally, the nature of the human body is that whenever there is pleasure, there are liquids secreted. So for example, when we see some nice food, at that time the tongue starts watering. So here, the Gita is using the opposite metaphor. That when there is immense grief, then the senses get dried up. Senses, that there is basically when there is grief, that is like a taap, it is heat in the body. And this grief is a choka uchoshan indriyanam. This grief within me is like a fire which is causing such lamentation that it is drying up my senses from within. Avapya bhuma vasattanam, it is nothing will satisfy me. I need to know what is that. So the Bhagavad Gita's question is, we find the question, what is dharma? And Krishna tells Sarvadharmaan Paritya Mamekam Charanam Vraja. So there are many definitions of dharma, but the highest definition is Mamekam Charanam Vraja. And Arjuna does not simply conclude by saying, I will fight. Arjuna's conclusion is Karishye Vachanam Tava. I will do your will. So in that particular situation, Arjuna's will, Krishna's will for Arjuna was fighting. But the Bhagavad Gita's message is not fighting. Bhagavad Gita says to do Krishna's will. Normally, we may operate under certain stereotypes. For example, the quintessential image of surrender is Draupadi raising her hands up and surrendering to Krishna. Now, please Krishna, help me. And we think, is this a surrender? Yes, that is surrender. But if you see the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna does Arjuna, Mamekam Sharanam, surrender to him. And Arjuna says, Karishye Vachanam Tava, I surrender to you. But after surrendering, what does Krishna Arjuna do? Arjuna doesn't raise his hands in helplessness. He raises hands in readiness to fight. He says, Yatra Yogeshara Krishna, Yatra Partho Yogeshara. Arjuna has picked up his bow and is ready to fight. So, surrender can have many different